If you would turn to the book of Ephesians, please, chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Now, you know, I said I was done with the Fruit of the Spirit series, but I'm going to give, I suppose, just a little capstone to the end of this series, if you will. Just was burdened about doing this, and so I'd like to read these couple verses. Now, we have been going through on Sunday or Wednesday nights right now the doctrine of the Bible, doctrines of the Bible. We've been touching most recently on the Holy Spirit. This coming Wednesday, we're going to talk about the filling of the Spirit. I'm going to share a few things about that this evening. There'll still be some different things that I will share on Wednesday evening, but I at least want to go ahead and have you look at Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 18. The Bible says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Tonight I want to go ahead and preach on the subject. I've titled the message, "Tilling the Soil Where the Fruit Will Grow." Now we've covered all the fruit, all nine fruit of the Spirit. And I want to talk tonight about tilling the soil where the fruit will grow. Let's go ahead and pray together. Thank you, Father, for tonight and this opportunity once again to share thy word. And may you give strength and ability to be able to share this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. First verse we read in this passage here speaks of the filling of the Spirit of God. The filling of the Spirit of God is a concept in Scripture that every growing believer must understand accurately. And it is important to understand it accurately because the filling of the Spirit must be differentiated from the baptism of the Spirit. There's a lot of confusion today with regards to the two, and often in many Christian circles, both the baptism of the filling and the filling of the Spirit are equated as one. May I simply, as maybe we've already done this on Wednesday night, but at least to review, the baptism of the Spirit is identification with the Spirit of God. That is, when a person received Jesus Christ as Savior, they are then baptized into the body of Christ. The filling of the Spirit is the empowering and controlling of the Spirit. So the baptism of the Spirit is something that is positional. The filling of the Spirit is something that is experiential. May I say tonight that if you're a child of God, you have been baptized in the Spirit of God, you have the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized in the one body." Romans chapter 8, verse number 9, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." And then those of you that were here this past Wednesday night, what's our memory verse? "Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Very good. Thank you, all two of you. I appreciate that. Now, understand that the filling of the Spirit of God is a command. It is a command. We are never in Scripture commanded to be baptized with the Spirit or to be indwelt or to be gifted or to be sealed, but we are commanded to be filled. You may not see it in this verse, Ephesians 5:18, but the wording that is given to us in the original language is simply that. It is a command. It is, you be filled with the Spirit of God. The filling of the Spirit of God, the reason it is differentiated from the baptism of the Spirit is a one-time event. The day that I got saved, I was baptized in the Spirit of God. But now, the filling of the Spirit of God is something that is repeated multiple times. Notice Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. The Bible says that day on Pentecost, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Then later, Acts chapter 4, verse 31, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken when they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." So this filling of the Spirit of God is something that is repeated. It is a command, and it produces Christ-likeness. As we went over a good portion of this summer, the fruit of the Spirit, it is a reminder to every one of us, this is where we ought to be and where we should desire to be. That is, that we have that filling of the Spirit of God, that it begins to produce Christ-likeness. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live just my life in the flesh before this world. I want to live Christ through me in this community. And it should be a desire for you as you go about your shopping and your daily duties and your work and all the things that happen in your life, that you live Christ's life through you. And the only way that can happen is when you are filled with the Spirit of God. And may I remind you and say this tonight, the filling's result, that is the fruit, comes when we allow the Spirit of God to control us. I'm going to say tonight that the Spirit of God will not force himself on you. The day that you got saved and the Spirit of God took residence on you, he didn't come into you and say, okay, I'm in charge now. Everything you do is just, I'm going to pull the reins in your life. No, here's what the Spirit of God does. He whispers to you. He talks to you. He guides you. He teaches you. But you make the decisions about what you do. And may I say tonight that only you will be Christ-like, only you will be filled with the Spirit of God if you do one simple thing in this Christian life. It's really, really simple. You allow yourself to be controlled by God, or let me put it this way, you yield to His will. Now, you and I can think of scenarios in our life where we've decided we're going to do our will. How many have been there? We all have. We come to a decision and we think, well, no, this is what I want. This is what I want to do. We come to a certain thing in this life or a desire, and we think of the things that we want in our flesh. But may I say that you will not be filled with the Spirit of God if you act in the flesh, if you make decisions according to what the flesh wants. You must yield yourself to the Spirit of God. I want to go ahead. I've got a couple of points tonight. First of all, I want to share this with you. That is, if a person is to be filled with the Spirit of God, his movement will be different. Let's put that out on the screen. His movements will be different. If a person is going to be filled with the Spirit of God, how can I till the soil in my life so the fruit can be produced, so I can be Christ-like? It's going to be this. My movements are going to be different. What do you mean movements? Well, let's back up in chapter 5 and let's look at a couple things that are spoken of. Look at chapter 5, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children." Now notice this word followers, very interesting. We think of, all right, just simply following somebody, but it has a little stronger connotation than just following somebody and walking behind them. It is this idea of imitation or mimicking. I used to love going, the couple of times that we were able to take our children to SeaWorld, my favorite thing was to get to the Clyde and Seymour show early. I don't know if they do this anymore, but there was a man dressed up in the costume as a mime. And I got there, I told my family, I said, look, this show starts at 2 o'clock. I want to be there 45 minutes early because my favorite part of the day was to watch the mime. Man, he'd get behind these fat people and he'd walk like this, you know. He'd walk stooped over. I mean, he mimicked everybody. It was just so perfect. And, you know, with his face painted and the clothes on, it was just hilarious to watch. He mimicked them. He imitated them. Now, all of you can recognize imitation if you've raised children. Children are great imitators. All three of my children, as they were little, it was amazing the things that came out of their mouth. And sometimes they'd say certain things, and I'd think to myself, that wasn't overly bad, but sometimes they'd say certain things. I'd say, well, where did you hear that? And they'd be quiet for a minute. And I questioned him again, where did you hear that? And finally he would say, well, Dad, you said that. I was sure hoping they'd say it was their mother that said that. But you know, children imitate, they mimic. Now, it's a wonderful thing when you're following God and you're doing right that they imitate. But may I say and take all of this to help us understand that the Bible says that if we're going to be filled with the Spirit of God and we're going to have Christ-likeness in our life, you and I must be imitators of Jesus Christ. Can I ask you a question? Who are you following? Who's got the lead in your life? Are you following the world? I tell you, you're going to find yourself lost in this world. You go follow the world, you'll go down one path and you'll come to a dead end. And then the world says, oh, wait a minute, we're going over here. So you follow them over here. The best person in all this world to follow is Jesus Christ. And you may follow someone, you might follow a pastor, you might follow a deacon, you might follow a great Christian, but I trust that as you follow them, that they can say, just like the apostle says, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. Who's our ultimate person to follow? It's not all these people in the world, because I'll tell you what, if you follow me as a pastor, I'm going to just tell you, I will fail you. If you follow some Christian who you think, man, that person is a godly person, look, God bless you for following that person. But may I say, keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. He'll never fail you. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's the best one to follow is Jesus Christ. And so our steps and our movements must be that we are imitating Jesus Christ. You say, how do I imitate Jesus Christ? Begin reading the Gospels and look at the steps Jesus walked through. Begin reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and look at the Gospels that are chock full of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Gospels show the way he reacted in suffering. They show how he prayed. They show what his priorities were. And the life of Jesus Christ exemplifies beautifully the life that we are to live, a holy, good, pure, righteous, faithful, loving, caring, and kind life. And on it could go. But we're to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. But then look at verse number 2. Not only are we to be followers of Christ, but then in verse number 2, it says, and walk in love. What else should our movement be? Well, first of all, I'm to be following Christ. But now as I'm following Christ, I'm to walk in love, not just for Jesus, but love for those around me. I don't believe that many are able to truly walk in love because they've never repaired the bridges that have been broken in the past. As some have gone through life, they've had bridges that need repairing. There are some, sadly, who have burned those bridges. They've had ruined relationships in the past, and they've had things, and they have just left those things as open wounds and open sores. And I'll tell you what, if you as a Christian do not deal with things in the past and there is aught against someone and there is a problem that you've not dealt with, can I say it cannot help you in your present situation? You may say, well, I'm a new man today. I'm just going to go ahead and from this day forward, I'm going to have love in all my relationships. If you've not demonstrated in the past, you will not demonstrate it today. You say, well, what do I do about those relationships? As the best you can, go back and make them right. Go back and say, look, I was wrong in this area. I want to make sure that there's nothing between you and I. It might be a family member, a relative. It might be someone in a previous church. I don't know what it is, but God knows. And you and I are to walk in love. Oh, people say, I want to produce the spirit of Christ-likeness. I want God's fruit in me. But they're not walking in love. How much we need to do that. Look at the last two verses of chapter number 4. Powerful verses. Look at this. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking Would you say these words with me, everybody together? Be put away from you. Notice that. Put it away with all malice. And then verse 32, here's the positive side. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. There was a theologian some time ago that said this about bitterness. He says, quote, I have observed one thing amongst true Christians in their differences in many countries. What divides and severs true Christian groups and individuals? What leaves a bitterness that can last 20, 30, 40 years, or even 50 or 60 years, is not the issue of doctrine or belief that caused the difference in the first place. Invariably, it is a lack of love and the bitter things that are said by true Christians in the midst of differences. Now look, we're all different. We've all come from different walks of life. I'm sorry if your football team's lost today, mine won, okay? We all have different places. Yes, and some of us are prideful and talk about our teams. I know, I understand. Thank you, Michael, appreciate that. I'm bitter at him now. But honestly, we all come from different areas. We have different personalities and different likes and dislikes and things that have caused us to tick and different upbringings. And that's not what we're talking about. We're going to have rubs. We're going to have issues that come up with one another as we shoulder and partner together in the ministry. We're not going to like things. You're not going to like things about this pastor. I may not like things about you. You may not like things about the deacon or the Sunday school teacher or so-and-so or this person that I work with in the ministry. And those things will happen. It's how you handle it. Choose to walk in love. The life of a Christian is to be characterized by love. God loves us. We surely ought to love others. Now, notice verse number 8. What else should be our movement? Well, we should be followers of God. We should walk in love. But notice verse 8. He says, for you are sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now, I believe when we look at the phrase walk as children of light, if we're to understand that, we must understand how it corresponds to the first part of the verse. At one time in your life, that is, before you were saved, you were in darkness. But then there came a point when you accepted Jesus. Now you were made as a child of the light. Do you understand the difference here? Darkness corresponds to all those that are part of Satan's kingdom that are unsaved. But now light characterizes those that are saved, and you now, positionally speaking, are a child of the light. What does he say? Let your walk show what is truly inside. Walk as children of light. This involves our testimony. What we do, where we go, what we say, how we conduct ourselves. Hey, you can talk the talk all you want, but you and I must act as Christians. It must affect our lives through and through. And I tell you, when you look at these verses, he begins to name some sins through First Ephesians chapter 5, and those sins we need to reprove. We need to get out. We need to walk in love. One last thing I'm going to give to you here for this first point is in verse number 15. I'm not going to take long on this. See then that you walk circumspectly. That is, walk in wisdom. Make right decisions. Now, what are we talking about? How do I produce the fruit? How do I show the Christ-likeness? I'm a follower of Christ. I walk in love. I walk in the light. I walk in wisdom, making right decisions. Now, number 2 point, I want you to see that when a person is filled with the Spirit of God, his manner of life will be different. It'll be different. Now, when you read the remaining verses of Ephesians chapter 5 and Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about our relationships. And I'm going to get that into in that in just a minute. But I want you to notice how our manner of life is different. That is, if I walk in love, if I follow Jesus and I walk as children of light and I walk circumspectly with wisdom, then it's going to be that my manner of life is different. And what will be different? Well, verse number 19. Look at what this verse talks about. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. What's going to be different in the life of a Christian if the fruit is becoming evident? There'll be a creature of worship before God. They'll desire to sing. That is, worship, that aspect of devotion and service to God will be there. Now, I know we think of worship very simply as kind of a Sunday morning thing. We're here at a worship service, and we worship God, and we go ahead and sing. Yes, that's very important, but may I say, worship is more than just you singing. It's your every aspect of life. It is your service to God. This week, if you're involved in a ministry, you know what that is? It's your worship. You know, as you gave money in the offering plate and you gave unto the Lord, that was a part of your worship. If some of you are going out and helping out in ministries, that is a part of your worship. Sitting down, reading your Bible, that's a part of your worship. Don't relegate worship just to what takes place in this auditorium here. It is your life before God. And he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, oh, how much we ought to long for the things of God. But then notice verse number 20, giving thanks. And what's the next word? Always. And then for all things. You know what's going to happen about my manner of life? Not only will my worship be different, but my reactions will be different. Now, I have had my fair share of when things have gone wrong that I have flown off the handle. How many of you know what I mean by flying off the handle? I've gotten upset, been bothered. A person who has a Christ-like character that is filled with the Spirit, his reactions will be Christ-like. Notice, giving thanks always and for all things. That is, God, I don't know why you've allowed this to happen in my life, but I'm thanking you for it. You're going to use it in some way. I don't know why Regina Farrell had leukemia that she was diagnosed with, but I tell you, God brought her through these last several months, and God has done marvelous things in their life. They've been able to witness to people that they would have never been able to witness to before. 45 minutes they had opportunity. A doctor, a Muslim doctor, born in Bethlehem, gave them 45 minutes to hear the gospel. You think that would have happened any other time? I think God put all that together, orchestrated together, and said, Regina, just hold on for just a minute. I'm going to let you go through this little thing because I got a doctor that you're going to see that needs to hear the gospel. That's beautiful. Now, I know when the things come on us, we get a little tense and we get a little uptight about it, but may I say, we're to give thanks. Our reactions are to be right. Giving thanks always. God's giving deserves our thanks living. No angel song could be sweeter than the one that ascends to God from a grateful believer's heart. Much I could say about this, but then I just need to close with this. From verse 21 to chapter 6, verse 9, now don't get scared, I'm not going through this, okay? I'm going to highlight it. I can already see the sweat coming off your foreheads already. He's got that much scripture to go over? No, I'm going to highlight it. Can I say your relationships will be different? You who are filled with the Spirit of God, and are living a Christ-like life, your relationships will be different. What does he go over? Husbands, wives, children, servants, or may we say in our vocabulary today, employees, masters, employers. You realize all those relationships will be different. Some of you have worked for people who have not been very godly people. Imagine if they were saved, filled with the Spirit of God, how much difference that would make. Some have been married at one time or another. Maybe there's been a wife or a husband. Maybe you're still together, but that wife or that husband was not godly, not filled with the Spirit of God, not Christ-like in their character, and boy, it put a strain on that relationship. Imagine the difference as we go through these things and as you walk through these later, it's your time, and to realize if I'm to be the right husband, I need to be filled with the Spirit of God. You know what most husbands say when there's problems in a relationship? Lord, it's that wife you gave me. If she acted better, if she did this, if she scratched my back a little bit more, if she treated me like she treated the dogs, then we'd be good. You know what I mean? No, husbands, you start looking inside. And you start thinking to yourself, I'm going to be filled with the Spirit of God, be Christ-like. Wives, don't start looking over your husbands and thinking of all the problems that he's got, because he does have a lot of problems. I'll agree with you on that. But you need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Employees, employers, children need to be filled with the Spirit of God. And when every person is filled with the Spirit of God and has tilled the soil, has walked in love, has walked in circumspectly, has walked after Jesus Christ, then they can have the fruit and then they can be the right type of person they ought to be. Wow, what a beautiful thing when people who are filled with the Spirit of God, then these families and all of these little communities come together and this church. Imagine this church that every person filled with the Spirit of God. What a powerful thing. May the Lord help us. I don't know what things that you may be going through in your life, but God longs to fill you. The only way that's going to happen is when you yield yourself to Him. May we pray together in our closing.